Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Zammit here, executive producer of the show. Some bittersweet news to start off the episode. Movie Maintenance, as we know it, is coming to an end with episode 150. So, as a bit of a send-off, we're doing a live show in Melbourne at the Eureka Hotel on May 18th from 6:30. Tickets are $10, there will be cheap merch, and the rest of the SansPants fam will be there. So, come on down, have a couple of drinks and a meal to celebrate. It's fun for all ages, especially the elderly. Just head to sanspantsradio.com/live to grab your tickets today. Kisses. Oh, and while I'm here, this sister show, Plumbing the Death Star, is doing two shows at the Melbourne International Comedy Fest this Saturday and next Saturday. Details are also on sanspantsradio.com/live. We've got some guests. I don't really remember them off the top of my head, but go check them out. Just head to that website. As you can see, this part was unscripted, and I forgot halfway through that I had to include this. Anyway, bye!
Get there!
Sans Pants Radio. Who the fuck is Mark Sinclair? Welcome to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some people just need to win an award. I'm Handsome Tom.
I'm Carney.
I'm Kath.
And this week, we're going to win Vinny D an Oscar.
I am the greatest motherfucker that you're ever going from the top of my head down to the tips.
So this week's episode is a little bit different in that we're not necessarily fixing a film. We're going to kind of pitch a film or more of a marketing campaign. But basically, we decided to set ourselves a bit of a challenge this week for an episode idea, something we're kind of experimenting with doing. And this challenge episode is we need to come up with a movie that would win Vinny D, the great Vin Diesel, aka Mark Sinclair.
Yep.
That's a fucking dumb name.
I'm glad
he changed it.
You think Mark Sinclair's a dumber name than Vin Diesel?
Sean, Vin Diesel, actually, you know what? Mark Sinclair
Vin Petrol.
No.
Yeah, Mark Sinclair would totally win an Oscar.
No, Mark Sinclair wouldn't win an Oscar.
He'd be a composer.
He wouldn't be a composer. He would be a journalist for a conservative newspaper who writes op-ed pieces that are terrible and then get discussed on a morning breakfast show.
Is Vinny D playing Mark Sinclair as a journalist going to win an Oscar?
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
That's...
Well, The Post. There's a precedent for, like, they love journalism kind of
Yeah, but Meryl Streep isn't playing whatever Meryl Streep's real name is.
I think her real name's Meryl Streep. I don't think that's
How do you think he picked Diesel?
Oh, look at him.
Why did he pick Vin? He didn't pick Vincent or Vinny. He picked Vin.
Vincent Diesel was already, taken by the Screen Actors Guild.
Was that why he changed his name? Is there another Mark Sinclair at the Screen Actors Guild?
It's possible.
I know Emma Stone.
Is Emily.
Is Emily Stone.
Yeah.
But there is already...
Yeah.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't. I just realised I was lying down. Go on.
Kath... We need to not get you in that chair because you sit at the back of the chair or lie down away from the microphone every week.
It's probably a problem if we're recording an episode and you go, oh, I just realised I'm lying down.
I spend all day, every day, so off topic, yelling at children to sit in their seats properly, and I am incapable of doing it myself. So
no, it's do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
This is Kath unplugged.
Well, in a way, because she's nowhere near the microphone, so you can't tell if she's plugged in or not.
All right, what's the first step for Vinny D Oscar?
So I've sort of thought about, like, we'll just have a bit of a discussion. So 10 years ago, because there was all that thing that one of Vin Diesel's, like, pet projects is he wanted to make a Hannibal film, and not Hannibal Lecter, but Hannibal the guy who conquered the Alps on the elephants.
Okay. I didn't know this Hannibal.
Do you know Hannibal?
No, I've never heard of him.
So he was like some kind of like Alexander the Great type figure.
Did he eat people?
No, he didn't eat people. He climbed the Swiss Alps back in like, I don't know a lot about him. I think he was a general and there was some part of a war that required him to basically get over the Alps. And it was like, how the fuck are you going to do that? And he's like, motherfucking elephants, fuck it. So he did that. And Vin Diesel was kind of liked this character. Like, it was a figure that he liked a lot. And he's one of his passion projects and his pet projects in between making 286 Fast and the Furious films.
Not enough.
Would it ever be enough? Never enough. winner. No, so
we got him there.
He wanted to make a Hannibal film about this historical figure where he played the lead role.
Is the reason why it didn't get up because he wanted to call it Hannibal?
I think so, but also budget, because the version of the film he had was like you know, this massive sandal epic kind of Alexander the Great style film. And as we know, that film did really well for the budget that it cost. Yep. So I think it was going to cost too much money. It was going to be too hard to do. And there just wasn't a call for it. So, but 10 years ago, we just pitched that movie and he probably wins an Oscar because it's a biopic. He's playing a historical figure. Don't think we could do it this now, though.
No, I don't think we could do it now. And I don't, I'm skeptical because I think it would only work if he brought a level of complexity to this amazing, you know, conqueror. Like, he would have to be, like, flawed, and it would have to, like, we'd have to see that for it to be kind of, like, compelling.
Are you saying that
enough.
Dominic Toretto isn't flawed?
No, I think she's saying that he would have to hate the elephants but need the elephants to win.
I just mean that I suspect Vin, and here we go, I might be judging him unfairly here, but I suspect Vinny D was looking more at the hero and the amazing things that he did as opposed to the complexity that was the man. So I'm doubting that script had the content it would have needed to win him an Oscar. But I could be wrong. But you're definitely right.
Sylvester Stallone wrote Rocky, and
there wasn't a script. It was just like some crayon drawing.
One of the things I love about all the stories involving Vinny D pitching movies is they're always in a pool.
Are they really?
Like, there are so many stories where, like, The Rock was interviewed. He was like, yeah, I was just at, like, Vin Diesel's pool. And he's like, you should be in a, you should come and do a, I don't know, I can't
maybe
do a Vin Diesel voice.
Maybe the man loves the water. Like, maybe he's just, like, does his best thinking, like.
But apparently in his pool with, like, Tyrese and, like, Paul Walker and them, they plotted out, like, all of the Fast and the Furious movies.
How did we get invited to this pool party? Because that
sounds like a magical pool.
Like magical experience.
No, we just send him a letter and we get him to listen to this episode and be like, Vinny D, invites to your pool party because guess what, mate? You're going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
And here's how. And then we can't picture the movie because we're not in the pitch pool.
That's the movie. The pitch pool.
It's just different actors coming in pitching Vin Diesel, like Vin Diesel vehicles.
It should be like The Apprentice, like a TV show called The Pitch Pool.
You come in and if your idea is wrong, you get dunked. If he doesn't like it, it's like Shark Tank with an actual shark and an actual tank.
If your idea sucks, he steals your towel and your clothes.
I can't even do a good Vin Diesel. He's just like, get out. It's like, where's my towel? He's like,
is it because he doesn't have enough dialogue to get his voice down pat?
I just try. I just end up sounding like a weird combination of Sylvester Stallone if he had a kid with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, boy.
Get out of my pool.
That's shit.
It's really bad.
But yeah, I don't think the Hannibal film is the way to go.
No, I don't.
Because I don't think historical films do that well in Oscar season anymore.
He would have been terrible in that, let's be honest.
And I don't think we can win Vinny D and Oscar with him as the lead. Do we agree? Are you gonna shut me down?
Correct call.
No, I'd agree. I think okay, put it this way. The closest Vinny D's ever been to an Oscar would be
like someone who'd won one.
The really, really mild Oscar buzz before anyone saw the film of when it was announced that he was going to be in that film.
Billy, someone's long time work.
And then they were Vinny D, soldier in a, who's the director of that film?
Ang Lee.
Ang Lee, in an Ang Lee vehicle. And there was this moment where people were like,
adapted from a very popular book.
Very popular book. You know, good cast, serious material, playing a soldier. So, you know, in his wheelhouse of kind of masculine characters. And there was this moment where everyone was like, is this where the Vinny D Oscar campaign starts? And I think as soon as the film came out, that Oscar buzz ended.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I really want to, but I just read so many bad reviews that I was like,
a bit part hesitant. Of it, the film was shot in a weird way or something.
And that's what Ang Lee came out and said it was he was like, it was an experimental film. I didn't want you to enjoy it, motherfuckers. Like,
can I just say
he didn't say it like that.
That is the most Ang Lee response to a film ever. It's like, oh, yeah, we didn't really like your film, Ang Lee. You weren't fucking supposed to.
I thought that was Vinny D's response.
No, that was Ang Lee. But I don't think there was any Oscar buzz once anyone had seen the film. But I think just like the description of the film, people were like, mate.
I love that there's Oscar buzz from a description, and then the moment people watch it, they're like, oh, no, never mind.
But that's
I'm going to describe the post to you.
Mm.
Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks in a film by Steven Spielberg about the Washington Post.
But
then you go,
that's Spielberg, Hanks, Streep. This is Vin Diesel.
Yeah, but this is Ang
Lee. So it's like, where's the cast?
He's coming off, didn't he win for Life of Pi? Did he do Life of Pi?
He won Best Director. Yes, he did, because he didn't thank the studio that did the special effects, and they went bust right like a couple of weeks. So the special effects studio that did Life of Pi went bust like a week or something crazy right before
because they
the
put
Oscars.
All of their fucking money into Life of Pi.
No, I don't think it was Life of Pi's fault. I think it was that they were called Rhythm and Hughes, which is a fantastic pun, best pun I've ever heard. They're called Rhythm and Hughes, and the whole special effects industry and it is deeply flawed, and it's not necessarily Rhythm and Hughes' faults. It's just the way that they do it. There's a great documentary you can watch about it.
Is it called Rhythm and Hughes Get the Blues?
No, it's just called Rhythm and Hughes.
Because it's all about them being underpaid.
They were underpaid. It wasn't Life of Pi's fault. It wasn't Ang Lee's fault. But regardless,
it's an industry issue.
And Rhythm and Hughes, here's the only way that these companies could stay afloat, right, is by doing dodgy by their workers. Rhythm and Hughes refused to do it. They made sure they paid their workers fairly, and they went bust because of it. And so,
what's the moral of that story, guys? Don't pay workers.
Be shit to your workers. No, they had integrity, and they went bust for it. And it was a really, really sad thing that happened. And they won an Oscar and went under in like the same week. And Ang Lee didn't even thank him. And it was a bit of a... I remember them being like reading that it was a real, real dog move. I'm sure he had his reasons.
His Ang reasons Lee. Are he's a dog who made a film with no real lasting impact.
We don't know why he didn't thank them. It's off topic.
Ang Lee's interesting. This is getting way off topic, but it's interesting because we also need to talk about like who's making this film. So we may as well just talk a bit more about Ang Lee.
We need a package, don't we?
We do. I'll get back to my Ang Lee point before I get to that. So I think the way we win him an Oscar is he has to win Best Supporting.
Yes.
That's his wheelhouse. It's the Sylvester Stallone for Creed.
That's the model, I think.
That's the model, is that you get that actor who's like known for doing Allison Janney, who's never been nominated and then wins. It's J.K. Simmons. Like
it's the fun of it
it's
all.
It's getting a character actor to play a supporting character that wins an award. And that's where I think Vinny D...
And here's how I think it needs to be done. And this is why I think for a half a second, Billy Flynn...
Billy Flynn's
there was this moment, and I think for me it was because he played a soldier, and I was like, I can believe that with the right script and the right director, he could play that character, that ultra-masculine soldier character, and if you got the right director, you could pull something more out of that performance into something that felt really real and with a real, like... And so he has to play a macho character with, like, this heart. And because for me, that's it.
I've got
because
the director.
Because you're going to expect him to be a one note and give him something beautiful, complex.
So it's not Ang Lee, because Ang Lee, this is the thing I was about to make about Ang Lee.
Cooked it already.
Ang Lee, we had a crack. Ang Lee, my thing about Ang Lee talks about him as like he makes big films that should win awards. He kind of makes films that I'm like, I don't really get it. Like, I don't get Ang Lee.
Mm.
Well, Brokeback Mountain, though. I mean, that film is brilliant.
Okay, I take that back. Mm. Didn't realise that he made Brokeback Mountain. Mm. I get Ang Lee again.
Yeah, it's one of the best films ever made. It's incredible.
But aside from that, he's a director of actors. He got amazing performances.
That's one thing you can't deny about him.
Gyllenhaal and Ledger. Although Gyllenhaal and Ledger are fucking talented fucking people.
That may be, but, you know, I think he does. I think his greatest strength is the performances he gets. I think I've never seen, like, a bad Ang Lee acted performance. Not that he, you know what I mean? A bad performance from
an
Ang Lee
film. Except in this film.
Well, I haven't apparently. Seen it.
That Tiger was very unbelievable in Tiger Boat.
Richard Parker.
My brother names every animal and car and computer that he has Richard Parker for some reason.
It's kind of cute.
He wanted to call his dog Richard Parker, and his girlfriend's like, no, it's a girl. And he's like, oh, okay. So he just called his car Richard Parker.
He rolled over easy.
He was also going to, this is completely off topic, but he was also going to call Chinese heroin was one point the name of his car, and he's like, I can't. And I'm like, my mum was like, you can't call your car that because then grandma will ask you what you've called your car. He's like, yeah, that's how I call it, Chinese heroin. Anyway, so we ended up calling it Richard Parker. That was a dumb story. Sean, what director should we go with?
I don't get this whole thing about when people name their cars. Like, what's the point?
You should play your brother. Let's make something out of this.
Wow.
Meryl Streep's your grandmother. Oh, it's a hearty thing. It's like a driving Miss Daisy in Chinese heroin.
Chinese heroin. And he drives because we know he can.
Here's the director.
All right, here's the director. Who's the director we got?
This is, frankly, only if we're going down the path of him being a soldier with post-traumatic stress disorder, perhaps, or something like that.
Yeah.
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, Jeremy Renner, in my opinion, is not a great actor.
And no, he's had some good roles.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, Wind River, he's amazing in.
Yes.
All right, well.
And the one we're talking about.
Zero Dark Thirty.
No, no, that's not it.
He's good in that.
He's not in Zero Dark Thirty.
He's not in Zero Dark. That's Catherine Bigelow.
That's Jessica Chastain. That's
Jeremy Renner's in. Oh, fuck, no.
He's in
Hurt Locker. You're
that's
right.
It, yeah. That's like, what we're thinking.
No,
of.
Shut the fuck up. He's in that movie, but yeah, you're right. No, I was thinking about the wrong one.
Is what?
What?
He's not in Zero Dark Thirty.
No, I know. He's in the Hurt Locker.
Okay, yeah.
But sorry. I was thinking, anyway.
Yeah. So I guess, so if we go for him playing a soldier of some kind or that kind of stuff, you get Catherine Bigelow, who is another good director of actors.
She's a good director of actors. You're not wrong.
That you could, that has awards.
Gravitas and think
too.
About the performances.
She's a good option.
Yep. Her awards gravitas, though, is kind of fading.
Oh, she just hasn't. What did she make recently?
I don't know. She made, well, whatever her one after Zero Dark Thirty was just plummeted.
Yeah. She's good, though, because she's the kind of director that likes to get a teaspoon from actors, if you know what I mean. Like, she really likes those. I mean, Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty have got the right film this time.
Yep.
Like, she was so controlled and it was so behind the eyes. And that was what was so fantastic about it, is you felt so. The
and
glimpses
even Renner
into,
in Hurt Locker. Like the best scene in that film is him buying cereal, and he doesn't do anything. He just doesn't know how to buy cereal.
And it's those glimpses it's like you get so little, and then so when you get anything as an audience member, you're like, oh my God, it feels so much more powerful, which is great because that means Vinny D doesn't have to give us a lot, because I don't know how much he can give, to be honest.
I think he doesn't talk a lot, or we make his character mute.
Cut his tongue out.
Make him mute.
How we get Vinny D.
How expressive is his face, and in particular the eyes. I'm not so sure.
It's really hard. He's like, I love him. He's a bit wooden. So
I don't think he has the ability to win an award without his.
He's going to need to talk.
Dulcet tones.
But he doesn't need to talk a lot. So here's my thing.
He needs to be Groot.
I'm just about to say that. Like, Groot is just his voice, and you get a pretty broad range of emotion just from voice.
Yeah. Do you think he's grown as an actor by being in Guardians?
By being Groot? I think so.
Mm.
So does that mean James Gunn is the man? No. So I think I'm going to throw someone out there too who's a good director of actors that you go, oh, wow, you got a really good performance out of that person. And Oscar buzz, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay. This is good timing though because... What's his name? Daniel Day-Lewis has just retired from acting.
P.T.
Anderson.
Stop the presses. He doesn't do that every fucking time he makes a movie and announces he's retiring every single time.
No, he doesn't.
Do you remember when he finished Lincoln and he was like, this is it? Do you remember before Lincoln when he was like, this is it? He retires every year.
That's not the point of what I'm trying to make. I'm trying to say.
Damn liar.
He is P.T.'s man. And if he says, I'm out.
He's not out. He's Kathy? Never been out. He says this every year. God.
Who cares?
Don't listen to the
PT
liar.
Needs a new crap. Needs someone new.
Yeah.
Vinny D could be the one.
He got amazing performances out of Adam Sandler. He's got amazing stuff out of John C. Reilly in the greatest film ever, Magnolia.
Also Tom Cruise. Who is Tom a good Cruise. Actor, that's, but this, that
but
was no, probably his best
but
performance.
But got a different performance out of Tom Cruise. So my argument is...
In peak Tom Cruise era.
Second best performance. But yeah, good one.
What's his best?
Collateral.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I'll pay that.
So is Michael Mann the man?
No, I don't think he is.
No, he's not.
And I'm a huge fan of his, but he has dipped in recent years. And
so I think
we can rule him out.
Paul Thomas Anderson's probably a good call because Catherine Bigelow would be good if we did the Marine story. However, are we sick of war films?
I was just going to
say, war films aren't Oscar bait anymore.
I don't think
they are, but they're not really.
I don't think they are.
The first thing that comes to mind is let's make him a soldier. I kind of don't want to do that.
If he's going to win an Oscar, I think he has to. I think he has to do something.
No, just to genuinely surprise us.
I don't think he necessarily needs to be a soldier, but I do think that he needs to be that traditional masculine role, but with an unexpected level of complexity so that everyone's like, whoa, like...
Is he Billy Elliot's dad?
He's a shit dad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean something like that.
But he's a shit good dad.
Yeah.
But he's trying so hard. Or, do we go, Vinny D, we're going to make you a drag queen.
Oh, do we go total opposite?
Do we go the total opposite?
Can he do it?
I mean...
This is a guy who has in his contract that he can't lose fights in movies.
Okay, this has changed. This has changed the way I'm approaching this. He has a thing where he can't lose fights.
I'm not sure if this is true, but I've heard that he has it and The Rock has it as well. So that's why when they fought in Fast and Furious, it's basically a draw.
Oh my God.
The Rock's lost fights.
Has he? Or maybe it's just a Vinny D thing.
He loses fights in...
Vinny D's never lost a fight in the Fast and Furious franchise, from my memory.
He's probably never lost a fight in his life because he's amazing.
Like The Rock's... I reckon the Rock's lost fights. He's lost fights in Pain and Gain.
Yeah, but that was different. That wasn't a vehicle written around
him.
I'm
now starting to think, I don't think he's lost a fight.
That was a pre-existing kind of story.
The Rock didn't lose any fights in Pain and Gain.
He loses a fight in Baywatch.
Does he?
And
to
then
who?
He loses a fight and then he comes back and wins the fight later.
That counts as a win.
Oh, really?
I think it does, yeah. The comeback.
But also, you're not putting your Rock in the Rock in the movie to then have him lose the fucking fight.
Yeah, no, but Vin Diesel... is not in the same category as Dwayne Johnson.
So
Dwayne,
he thinks he is,
definitely.
Do you know how much easier it would be to win Dwayne Johnson an Oscar? Fuck, it'd be like that. Oh, so
yeah.
much easier.
Yeah, it would be easier. Because he's got the chops.
Oh, he's got the chops. Anyway, we're gonna. It's Vinny Day.
I have a thought.
Yeah. So we don't think we can make a play against time?
No, I don't think
to
so.
To some degree, I think we can.
I, here's what I think. A kind of a marriage between the two. I think like a Matthew McConaughey and Dallas Buyers Club. So you know how he's like, because I don't know if he's gay in that film, but he certainly surrounds himself with like the LGBT community, but he's quite this tough kind of stern man. And that's why it's kind of like that character is so compelling to watch because you've got that darkness that he's kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's doing something really good, but he's doing it for kind of shady reasons and it's a real gray area. I feel like Vinny D could slide in there.
Do you know what you've made me realise?
Yeah.
I've got the director now.
Okay.
And I know exactly the director it has to be. Mm-hmm. And it's because you said Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
What is the beginning in the McConaissance?
Oh, good point. Good point. What is the beginning in the McConaissance?
Well, it was mud.
Mud, yes. But what was the big mainstream beginning in the McConaissance?
It wasn't the Lincoln Lawyer.
No.
So he was very good in that.
I'm thinking of when yes, people took him seriously for Mud, but people went back and watched Mud because of a performance
That's
he gave.
That's true. I don't think people saw
in,
Mud.
In this film that I'm thinking of, which also saw other actors.
Christopher Nolan.
No, other actors be given serious, actors who you normally go, oh, that's that person with this director telling a story that on paper seems ridiculous, but actually had a lot of heart and a lot of seriousness to it.
I'm blanking on the film. It's just after Mud.
Magic Mike.
Oh,
I don't think Soderbergh's the guy.
Oh, yes, he is.
No, I don't think
so
he is.
Good in it. And he was so. Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because Soderbergh last year did Logan Lucky, which had a fucking like superb performance from both Driver and Daniel Craig.
Yep,
no buzz at all.
And also, Tatum was quite good, but I think
that movie is not a buzz film. It's not.
Soderbergh doesn't make buzz films. Like, think about it. His most recent, the film that's coming out next for him is shot on an iPhone. He's not, like, he doesn't give a fuck
he's
about.
He's a weird guy.
He doesn't care about the Oscar campaigns or any of that shit. He's probably not the guy.
And let's be real, I don't think he's a big Oscar. I think he makes films that people respect, but does he have the Oscar stats, so to speak?
He would
for
get
his
an
actors?
Amazing performance out of Vinny D.
I don't think of him as, like, a character driven director.
No,
he's more of the cool, he creates the cool premise and the setting for them to kind of just do their thing.
Yeah, but like, look at Magic Mike and look the performance you get out of Channing Tatum, the performance you get out of McConaughey, the performance you get out of all these other guys who are kind of Alex Pettifer. Like, he gets good performances.
I'd like
out
to
of
take
actors.
A walk down memory lane back to, I believe the year was 1998.
Great year.
Sure.
Saving Private Ryan. Vinny D gave a very small but actually incredibly, like, a really good performance for Steven Spielberg. Do we reunite that team?
Spielberg's a proven man.
When Spielberg goes serious, it has Oscar buzz attached to it from the outset.
I think at this point in time, Spielberg could get you a nom. He's not getting you a win. You know what I mean? He's not pulling the quality
that's
that
why
he
I suggested
to.
Soderbergh, because you get a good performance. What do I call him?
Soderbergh.
That was weird.
Like a burger made of soda.
So that can
delicious.
Of, that can
I,
of
I like
soda.
It.
I think Spielberg maybe. Spielberg 10 years ago.
Who's
the new Spielberg? Who's the guy? Who
is every year or every second year knocking out Oscar noms? Okay, David O. Russell.
But it's been a while though, Kath.
And I don't know if David O. Russell's going to get that performance.
No, because he's I think he works well with people he works well, and that's
he would provoke Vinny D to the point that they would punch on.
Or
would, and then Vinny D would have to win because it's contract.
What about
so
someone
did Lily
like
Tomlin? I heard she had like, that in her contract too.
Let's go through the top directors, right? Who are getting nominated? Nolan's only really just started to get nominated with Dunkirk, yeah, so he's and, out, and he wouldn't get the.
And Nolan's good, but he I mean, he got a great performance out of Harry Styles, but I think his thing is that he's
I think
not...
Harry Styles is talented. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. So is Vinny D.
No, I don't. I don't. I honestly think their levels.
I
are
don't
different.
Think, and I, people, you know, you go, but he got a great performance out of Heath Ledger. That was 90% Heath.
Yeah.
And even Christopher Nolan said that he did nothing. He just rocked up on the day and filmed him.
Mm-hmm. I watched that Heath Ledger documentary. Heath Ledger literally read for it and said, I know exactly what I want to do. Like he walked in that room. He walked in the set ready. Like I think I'd go as far as like 100% that was Heath.
Kath, you're the Oscars person.
You are the. That's why you're in this.
Who's been winning director? Like, I don't think Del Toro is going to give him.
No,
a film.
But here's the thing: it's not who's winning the Oscar for who's director. Getting... Who's making the films that are getting the Oscar noms and the Oscar wins?
Tom Hooper. Not for Vinny D.
No, not for Vinny D. Vinny D had punched him his Affleck? Lights up. Oh, maybe. He's not getting actors' noms. He's getting himself noms.
He's getting his films nommed.
Yeah, but not his cast. His cast don't tend to shine that much.
It's because he's the lead.
Morgan Freeman, but I think that was more writing than.
Do we go way, way back Affleck's? And get old mate out of retirement? Who? No, he's not retired, but he should have.
Who?
Jesus, what's the...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
No.
God. He is a liar.
Angry old bastard who makes movies. Oh, my God.
What's he made?
Clint Eastwood.
He's still making movies.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I said he should have retired.
His Oscar period is gone, though.
Yeah. He's making trash these days. Also.
Do you know what?
Oh, he is. Trouble with the Curve.
Spielberg's actors always get nominated. If he's not getting nominated. Look at the last few big, nominated
Spielberg
films.
What about
films?
The Post?
Lincoln.
Lincoln was a while ago.
Although that's 2012.
That's Day-Lewis and...
That was his fifth time he said he was retiring.
Yeah.
Sally Field did win though, didn't she?
She did.
She did win. She did. And he won as well. So Spielberg, maybe we're writing off too soon. But Lincoln was such a long time ago.
And also, you look at the people who've won for Spielberg.
I'm not...
Sally Field, Day-Lewis, Streep. Like,
yeah. I'm not convinced that he could push Vinny over the line. I think... Because we want him to win here. It's not just
we want him to win.
Who is a real?
I like how we're not even worrying about what the film is because I don't think
it doesn't matter.
What about the Coens?
That's the way the.
Now that's interesting.
They're moving towards TV.
Yeah, but their last hurrah before they move to TV is they.
I'm sure they'll come back.
They give us the Vinny D, playing a Tommy Lee Jones type character in a No Country for Old Men film or a Jeff Bridges in True Blood.
Yes, Vinny D is. Yep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, here we go. No, I've got an idea. Here's the movie, and we just then here we go. You ready, ladies and gents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so ready.
Blow your fucking mind. So it's it's a bit Three Billboards, a bit Fargo, a bit something like that. In that it's a small town that's a little bit racist, a little bit backwards.
Yeah,
and it's politically relevant, which helps, I think. Kathy, the Oscars expert, if it's politically relevant, does that help us get nominated?
Absolutely.
Yep.
If voices are being heard of minorities, yeah.
Small, quiet town, mass shooting in a town.
Okay.
Ooh,
That's a hot button.
Marine comes home from war.
I got something too.
Broken inside, gets a gun, shoots everybody.
Shoots
a huge bunch of people. And the story is told through a series of kind of flashbacks. Vin Diesel plays the Marine who flips. He's not the main character because the main character is the cop. Who's coming in to try to fix this town, and he just can't. And it's some other actor. It's like Bryan Cranston or someone. But Vinny D is the shooter. I'm just putting it out there. What do we think?
Yep.
You've got something to put on.
I've got something I just want to add on top of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Small town setting still.
Yep.
Vinny D
yep.
is the sheriff. He's a dirty cop and a racist fuck. Yep. His daughter gets killed in like a gang shooting or a school shooting.
Yep.
And then he's basically got a... It's like the first time he's ever had to do the right thing because he's on the right side of the law and he's trying to solve it and he has to deal with it.
Why does he have to do it the right way?
Not the right way per se, but like he's got to like work with people who he's hated and he's been like racist against and stuff like that. But it's all about like his daughter dying has kind of like flipped the switch for it.
Because he can't solve it without help. Actually connecting with the community.
Yeah.
I really like that idea. I think Tom's is more likely... Vinny D's... That's...
As a shooter...
Because, you know, you could totally take the angle of we'll never really understand his madness, so we get these glimpses, you know, into it. I like your idea, Sean. Don't get me wrong. I think it's probably a more interesting film for me to watch, but I think in terms of Vinny D, Tom's is...
I don't know if I'm on the school shooting.
No, it doesn't have to be a school shooting.
In fact, it could be a church shooting.
Whatever shooting he does, it's basically... From the start of the film, you see him go in and do the shooting. You have a cop come down from like a big city who's trying to fix this thing, and it's like you do not get this town. You don't know why it's happened, and maybe there's not even necessarily a conspiracy, but just this man needed help and it wasn't available to him, and that's what's caused this to happen. And you basically have the ripple effects of this one man's action, and you kind of piece together through flashbacks and things who this man was, and by the end of the movie. We're going to make you care about the shooter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough sell, though.
I think you got three main characters, though.
Yeah, sure. But I think we can do it. I think Vinny D could play this character really well.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to be the shooter.
I think he's good as the shooter. Who else would he be if he's not the shooter, though?
Well, is he just someone in the town?
Because we can keep his dialogue minimum. And we can be more like
and then you build pathos with the fact that, you know, he goes to a veteran supports meeting and it just doesn't, like, he's just not getting help. And this cop who's investigating can be like, you can't just destroy every... Because his family's still in the town.
Yeah.
And so...
Vinny's family?
The family. This guy who's the main character in the film is a lawyer who the family have hired... to sue something about the town because to sue the US military because they didn't provide this man with the support he needed and he did this terrible thing and now everyone in the town hates them. So you get that kind of three billboards edgy thing where the town kind of hates this family but less confrontational. She's not Frances McDormand. She's not a battle axe. She's just trying to fix this really shitty situation and this lawyer comes down. And the lawyer's played by like some smooth, like Armie Hammer, but not Armie Hammer. Like young George Clooney.
Even Idris Elba. I mean, he was fantastic as the lawyer in Mario Game. He was so good.
Yes, he's the lawyer. So he's coming to a small town. A black lawyer is coming to a small town.
Like a racist hillbilly.
The sheriff of the town's like, nah, that guy was bad news. And it's like something happened to push this guy to what he did. Or is Vinny D the racist sheriff?
No.
He won't win an Oscar as a racist sheriff, I don't think.
It depends what his arc is, though. I think he can get him over the line, but let's go with this. Let's work this.
Because Rockwell's not a good guy in Three Billboards. And by the end of that movie, he hasn't redeemed himself enough.
Mm. Hasn't redeemed himself at all.
He's still fucking racist. He's just being a cop now.
Actually,
and
he's
going to commit a murder.
He just goes from dark grey to middle grey.
That's all we need to
but
do
it's an
with
interesting
this
journey
movie.
To
We've
follow.
Got to drop the sheriff completely because that's lead.
Yeah.
So then it's
get back to supporting. All he's right. the he's the shooter.
Unless he's the lawyer the lead. Because
the shooter is the supporting in this.
No, I know.
Are you talking about the
lawyer?
Other?
But if
like
if Vinny's a sheriff, they'll want to nominate him for lead.
No, I reckon we go with this.
Yep. So don't make him the sheriff.
Did you say something about a mother?
Yeah, his wife.
Or his mother
or
and
his
it's
mother.
Meryl. Or sorry, I'd rather no. Glenn Close.
Oh.
Glenn Close is Vinny D's mum.
Glenn Close is fantastic, but like Margot Martindale, you would never see
No, she's too... I think that's an obvious one. Okay. I think she can play rough in
can
that. I've seen that in Justified. From her.
Can I just spitball something at you?
Yeah.
The lawyer for the US military is Glenn Close.
Okay.
Okay, who's the mum then?
Someone else.
Meryl Streep.
No, I don't buy
it. I'm talking about you want to get the. It doesn't matter about the actress; it's the caliber.
No, Cher is she is a fantastic actress, and she's
But is she too close in age to Vinny D?
No, she's really old.
Yeah, she's quite old.
Sorry, Cher. I'm so
sorry. No, she's about about 78.
If you listen to this podcast, we're really sorry. We respect and love you.
If I could turn back time, Cher, I would. No, but seriously, she is. No, because Cher is, I think she's, Vinny D's like Italian, right? Or something.
Cher? No, I'm sorry.
Like, I'm thinking Cher from Moonstruck.
Let's go back to Margot. Come back with Margot.
No, Cher is brilliant.
But I think we can follow this thread through, and I think there's like an older kind of Spanish, Italian kind of actress who we could get to play a European-looking actress. Because then you have that too, that she's they're an ethnic family, so they're a big family. You have the family divided. Why did you hire a lawyer, Mom? Our brother's a psycho. Like, you have siblings. It's a simmering family drama. Though,
Tom, that side could always have come from the father. Like, you need to fill this movie with Oscar caliber to get him in the conversation from the outset. She doesn't have Oscar caliber.
She does.
She did 20 years ago. Meryl Streep.
Because then this movie becomes about winning Cher an Oscar, and
I don't.
I just say this? You need to surround Vin
Meryl.
Diesel.
Can't be Meryl.
Look,
Meryl's
too obvious.
Look. You need to surround Vin Diesel.
Let's keep yelling at him.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You need to surround Vinny with other actors who are not going to get Oscar. Like, they're going to get their nominations or whatever, but you don't want an actor who's like, oh, let's also make a campaign because we've got to get them one too.
I do know what you mean. Yeah.
So then you go someone, but not Meryl, because they'll make a campaign behind Meryl. And people will focus too much on Meryl's performance.
He'll be pulled into the gravity of that.
Possibly.
He could be, but he could also then, by contrast, lose shine.
What about someone like Annette Bening?
Annette Bening is fantastic, yeah. And she's always felt overdue.
Oh my God.
We don't want that then.
Yeah.
Look, she's a poor man's Glenn Close. Let's just get her in.
Who's the poor man's Glenn Close?
I can't even look at you.
No, Glenn Close does not get enough.
She does. She's underrated.
In the film, and she's playing. Could Glenn Close play white trash?
I want to watch it if she does.
But is she then also? Are we just going to win everyone in this movie an Oscar?
Fuck yeah! It's going to be that. It's going to be Silence of the Lambs winning everything.
So good that everyone has to win.
Like a clean sweep for you.
Hamilton it, right? You write something that is so big and so popular, there is no way that anyone else is winning in any other category.
Acting categories gone to the same film?
I'm not even sure.
I'm not sure either.
I should know this.
I think the biggest thing was that Silence won actress, actor, director, film.
So you Silence of the Lambs it.
Yeah.
And I think we can do this with this film. And I think
Glenn Close as
a white trash mum. Oh, I'm so. But she's not fully white trash, but she's just a little bit. She's rough. And this big.
A little bit of Erin Brockovich.
Who's the actress from The Fighter?
Amy Adams. Or the mum.
No, the mum.
Melissa Leo.
She could do it.
She'd be really fucking good. But then she'd be angry, though.
That just more of the same, though? I'd rather see Glenn Close do it.
I'd rather see Glenn Close, too, to be honest with you. Glenn Close would get me excited. Yeah. And I think it would get the Academy excited. Because she's felt... Yeah.
Okay, and it's not,
was there
it's
a
not,
sheriff, too?
Nah. Well, there'd be cops, but they're just people members of the town. Maybe there's a mayor.
Who did he shoot? How many people?
So I don't think it's... When I say mass shooting, maybe not a mass shooting, and I don't think it's a school shooting. I don't think school shooting.
Well, a mass shooting's anything over two.
So I think he only needs to shoot like three or four people for it to be mass shooting, but also to have an impact.
Are they complete strangers or are they people he chose?
No, I think they're complete strangers because I don't think it matters who he shot. And that's,
you could get extra juice out of having a sheriff type character, and one of his kids is one of the victims who was shot.
No, he can't kill a kid.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's a slight bridge too far. I don't think
your sheriff could be 50 and his kid's 30. You know what I mean?
Or someone that he shoots, the sheriff.
Yeah, I almost feel like he needs.
And then it's like a lawless town.
It needs to be people, because.
Do you want? Okay, I've got something really tragic for you that's going to break our hearts.
Yeah.
But it's going to win Vinny an Oscar.
That's all that matters.
Throughout the flashbacks, we see him. We don't see what happens, but we see him. He walks into like a bar or like a diner somewhere, and he just shoots the people in there. It's like 4 a.m. There's only five people there. Mm. He shoots the owner, and he's just, the owner is like, is someone that he knows, and you learn this through flashbacks that he went in there every day and ordered the same thing, and every morning the guy's like, hey Joe, how's it going? It's like, you know, once he has like some little mantra, like it was like, I'm getting there one step at a time, and he just never gets there, and that's the great tragedy, is that he never gets to where he needed to be, and he sees no other way out, so he goes in, shoots these people, and probably shoots himself
but fucks it up,
so he's still alive.
Well, yeah, isn't that the whole thing?
Well, no, I had him. He's dead at the start of the film.
And how does that even?
Oh, but we only see him. We see him through flashbacks.
All right.
No, I like like Sean, he fucks it up because maybe he's in the coma for most of it, and then he has a really great, like an Oscar-winning scene at the end where he wakes up. This and it's, is like really powerful.
Sorry, Kath.
No, you go.
This is good because this limits his speech. He fucks it up and he can't talk properly anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, Vinny Day.
He already can't talk properly.
Oh, mate. And the reason Idris Elba has been called to assist. Glory. Is because the mum's trying really hard to get someone, and one of Vinny D's marine buddies, who's played by like someone
Tyrese
or played by like Timothy Oliphant or someone like that.
That's better caliber acting choice. Is like,
I know a guy who works for like Veteran Affairs Law. He's going to help you guys because the man I knew and the man I loved wouldn't have shot those people in there. Something changed him, and they didn't look after him.
So he sets him up with a lawyer. Who is
Idris Elba?
Okay, yeah, Idris Elba.
I think Idris Elba is a great choice.
We don't need the full plot. This is the bare bones. This film is directed by...
Sorry.
Who directs? Is it Catherine Bigelow could direct this movie, I think, now?
Yes, or the Coen brothers. It would be very different.
I just want to stack the cast with one more. Idris Elba's up against the opposition lawyer. Did you pick one already?
Well, I said it was Glenn Close, but we've now made Glenn Close.
We'll make her the mum. Opposition lawyer can be Michael Shannon.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we need another lady in the film.
Yeah, right. I think... Michael Shannon doesn't do much for me.
He's a good actor.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
It's not Timothy Oliphant, it's Michael Shannon, who's the other...
No, I like Timothy Oliphant better. Let's get Shannon out of there.
Okay. No, we can get him for that
lawyer. We could do Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain would be good as that lawyer.
She would be good at anything. She's so talented.
She would be.
I would say like a Jennifer Lawrence because I love her, but she'd steal the scene.
No, too young.
Yeah, too young. Yeah.
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet would be interesting.
Blanchette.
Oh, I'm
she
on
needs
board
to
with
be
her.
Cold, and Blanchett can play cold.
Blanchett playing Tilda Swinton playing this role.
Yes.
Oh, Tilda Swinton, sorry.
No, Blanchett as Tilda Swinton.
Nah, Tilda Swinton's a better actress.
No, Kate Blanchett. I love her.
All right, you can have her then.
Thank you.
Great. So we're going to win Best Supporting Actress, Best Actor Nom, because Idris won't win because the Academy's racist.
Loaded.
Glenn Close will win. Oh, no, Glenn Close and Blanchett will be up for the same.
Yes, because they'll both be supporting. So maybe Glenn Close will win it.
And Glenn Close wins it from Blanchett.
Yes, well deserved.
Because, you know, she did something different. And Vinny D
gets that supporting. He gets that supporting.
Don't underestimate the power.
Who makes this film, though?
Don't underestimate the power of someone like Vinny D getting that nomination and the feel-good story sweeping him through.
Yep.
Mickey Rourke nearly won Best Actor just because of that, basically, and because of a great performance.
Yeah. I do think it's important, just circling back, that I like that he doesn't die because I think he needs this one. They have this – it's great, 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 but they have this one scene that just – Michelle Williams in that movie last year, she didn't win, but she had that amazing
yes.
scene.
They usually, or they often,
have this one. They're really strong, but the supporting just supports the whole way until they have one scene where they rip your heart out and you're not expecting it. Vinny Dean is that scene when he comes out of the coma and you need to
rip your
fucking heart out.
Idris Elba's going in there to try to build the case. Vinny Dean won't let him do it. It's like, just doesn't give him anything. And as Idris Elba, who's been dealing with the racism of this town, questioning his job, why did he come out here? He's just trying to make a difference. Just as he gets his hand on the door, you just hear the muffled garbled speech of Vinny D go, "Do you want to know why I did it?" Idris doesn't turn around, and Vinny doesn't even wait for an answer. And just is like, "I'm just tired. I'm just so tired. It's so exhausting. You spend 4 or 5 years bleeding for your country, and never once did my country bleed for me." Like, it's not necessarily something like that, but that's the moment he delivers this. He explains why he did why he did the shooting.
And he cries.
And he's like,
and he like can't wipe the tears.
And Idris Elba's
because he can't move his hand.
He's
or
like, trying, but he can't.
And then does Idris lean in with a handkerchief and just wipe?
I think that would be heartbreaking watching like a fully grown ex-Marine crying and being physically incapable of like cleaning
his face. And
he just reduces
to tears. And Idris doesn't necessarily turn around or sit with him. And then at the end of that conversation, he's just like, "I should go to jail." Like he basically tells Idris Elba that I did it. You should punish me for it because I did a bad thing and I'm a bad man. And you're like,
he'd say, "I should be dead.
I should be dead.
But there's probably stuff that's happened, you know, when he was serving where he's like, "I should have died long ago." Like,
I think it needs to be a substantial piece of dialogue in terms of length.
This is the
winning Oscar. This is how we win it. It's a great, it's a beautiful monologue. It's an Ellen Burstyn in Requiem for a Dream monologue.
Yes. Mm. And literally there's bits in it where he's like, you know, Idris Elba was like, you know, why did you try to kill yourself or something like that? And he's like, that bullet has been coming for me for 16 years. I should have died like multiple things. And he's like, I'm not a good man. Something happened in the war and he got a cross or something, or he got a specific thing. Yeah. He's like, it didn't go down that way. And I've had to carry that with me and no one knows what it's like. So it's this big unburdening of all the things in his head. Vin Diesel makes you cry.
And
then he wins an Oscar.
I like the idea of the bullet coming for him thing, but I'd also like Idris to challenge him and be like, well, what about the bullet that was coming for? And he'd list like the four victims that he took out.
I like the fact that Idris is like, yes, I need to defend this veteran. And then as he starts digging, he's like, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
It's my job, but it's really hard. I side with these kids. And Cate Blanchett can just keep dangling that in front of Idris Elba. It's like, this is a bad thing that happened. Yeah. Like, you know, you really?
Mm. But it's about a bigger issue. It's about how the country treats their veterans and things of that nature. And
it's about the fact that the theme of the story is, you know how in America, like, people like Republicans and Trump talk about how bad people, we need to look after our veterans, and then they do fuck all to actually look after their veterans. They're very pro about how patriotic we are to veterans. When it actually comes to supporting and caring for veterans, it's just like, it's very tokenistic. And I think that's the plot of this film.
Yeah.
I think Kathryn Bigelow is the director. Does she normally write direct?
No, Mark Boll writes a lot of.
Do you know who could write this movie? The guy who wrote Hell or High Water and Sicario.
Sheridan.
Damn.
I watched the shit out of that.
Mm.
Guys. But she'd probably get Mark Boll to.
Well, yeah, Catherine. Sheridan's
written this script on spec. Mark Boll's come in and helped shape it.
Zhuzhed it up.
And it's
only factor here that stands in the way is historically, do war films do okay?
But this isn't a war film, Sean.
But
it's not. It's really not. And I don't think it's a human drama.
You don't actually show.
I don't even think we should see him in the war at all.
You don't see him in the war at all.
You shouldn't see any of it.
It's actually just about one event and the rippling effect that has, and the root cause of that event is this is a broken man who just broke something back.
Yeah, I like this.
This is a man who shattered into 1,000 pieces, ooh, and those pieces, that's Idris Elba's like law statement. I don't even think the film ends with it going to court. I don't think you see the result of the court case. I think you have Idris going in on that day to do the court case, and Vin Diesel's there. And he just kind of like pats him on the knee or pats him on the shoulder. And then it's like, all rise. And then it's like black, cuts to black. You don't see the result of that court case.
Yeah, like the climax of the film is him coming to terms and with like acceptance, I guess.
Yeah. Elba accepting this case, going, I'm going to do this thing. He has one last confrontation with Blanchett. That's like brilliant. And Yeah. And it builds it too. And it's like, you know, the last thing he says to Diesel, who's still like against going and doing this thing for the court battle, is Elba can say something to him like, you know, even if you've done a bad thing, you still deserve some good, or some good can still come of your bad.
Even if you did a bad thing, it doesn't mean that they didn't also.
Yeah.
Like you fucking up, which he does, obviously, and you making this horrific mistake doesn't mean that they are absolved for their mistakes. Someone doing something bad to a bad person is still something bad.
Your mistake does not absolve theirs. Mm. That kind of thing. And then I think Michael Giacchino is just doing this beautiful score.
Ooh, good choice.
Although the only exception to that is we also then get Bruce Springsteen to write a song for the film, and we win Best Original Song as well.
Brucey
wins an Oscar.
He should have won an Oscar for The Wrestler.
Guys, have we done it? Oh, hang on, Kath.
Oh, no, just a little, little sprinkle on top.
Hit us with this.
Woody Harrelson as the bartender in the flashbacks. Because, oh, it'll break your heart to know that he gets killed.
Nice a little touch. Showy.
Pardon?
A little showy though, no?
What do you mean?
You want him in just for flashbacks?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, he'd do
give
it.
Him some weed.
He'll do it because the script will be dynamite. Yeah, give him some weed. Did you say that? Okay.
I'm so sorry, Woody Harrelson.
but you're not, because that's true.
No, I've insulted so many celebrities. I don't think that's an insult. I think he'd agree with
that. No, I think he'd be on board with that.
You know who should be the bartender?
Who?
Cher.
Yes, and she would do such a good job. No, I'm actually dead serious about this. Cher, and she's like a Mariah Carey impression. She's almost unrecognizable. She's so unglammed. She's so deglammed.
Love it.
She's an every woman.
But we just killed the film, and it's not going to win anymore.
Nah, yeah, no. Cher's the bartender.
Does she win the Oscar for best song?
Yes.
she sings a duet with Bruce Springsteen.
What the fuck? Oh, man.
Well, On that note, I've been Tom.
I've been Carney.
I've been Kath.
And if you have any better ideas of how we're going to win Vin Diesel on Oscar, which you're not, so don't even bother.
No, but I want to hear him.
But you can let us know by sending us an email, moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter at @mmsanspants, or individually, I'm at @awkwardtreed.
I'm at @sidekickofdowie.
I'm at @kathatkins5, or on Instagram, and Catherine Atkins Art.
Nobody cares about
Instagram. All right. And if you want more of us talking and more bonus content and more fun things that you don't normally get, you should think about becoming a SansPants Plus member. It's $5 a month, and you get a whole bunch of extra stuff. So you should do that.
Mark Sinclair doesn't have Instagram.
True.
I think if he'd seen, you know what, you just got to cut me off. I don't know why I'm